Jones.
And Mike. Real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey-playing, city-living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer-swilling, married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade. Sound familiar? It's, you know, shit dudes say. About family, women, philosophy, politics, history, people, money, pop culture, kids, fighting, business, life. Join the conversation. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7 worldwide at jonesandmike.com.
This hour, is it fake news that people are running around the White House grounds?
Will we really go to Mars?
And whose idea was it to use real women as models anyway?
This is Jones and Mike. Jones and Mike.
Jones, what would happen if the POTUS with the MOSTUS got whacked? Would this country just go up in flames or what?
I don't think it would go up in flames, but I think you'd be surprised how seriously concerned people would get if something happened to President Trump. A lot of people are calling for it, or behind closed doors kind of dreaming about these scenarios, but if something were to happen to the President of the United States, I think you would see people really get scared at how vulnerable they are.
Yeah, I don't understand those people. Like, people on TV shows and movie celebrities and stuff, they're, and writers and pundits, they're openly, like, kind of calling for the assassination of the president. It's like, I can't imagine. I did not like Barry at all, but I never wanted him to get shot. Like, what the hell is going on that people want the POTUS to be killed?
Well, it's
I don't care who it is.
There was a couple of weeks ago, it was either the New York Times or the New York Post. They published an article and they had a breakdown of all the Republicans that would have to die before you could get to a Democrat. And some people were really bristling at that and treating it as though they were almost putting out a hit list.
Oh,
saying like, this is what it would take to get a Democrat back in power. Now, I'm not saying people were looking to act on that list, but to even go beyond just that list that was published a few weeks ago, a few days ago, you had the video of Snoop Dogg coming out where he has a gun to what appears to be Donald Trump's head.
Doesn't like a flag that says bang on it come out, like the old-timey style, something like that?
I did not see the video. I just saw the still where he has the gun up there.
It's like kind of like the old bang, you know, gag. That's cool.
If he did the bang gag, I didn't see that.
Okay.
I only saw the still from the video, but it was funny when I saw the video, the still, I immediately thought, like, well, doesn't, like, there was always that idea when we were growing up as kids, if you said, I want to kill the president, like, the Secret Service was supposed to show up to your house.
Oh, yeah, black, like, helicopter style.
People
sure.
Just, like, swooped in right away and took care of you. That's how seriously they took it. And when I saw that photo, I was like, well, wait a minute. Are people going to show up to Snoop Dogg's house?
Yeah.
Because when Obama
get a contact high and immediately just start watching TV with
him. When Obama was in office, there was a UFC fighter who at the end of his fight said, he made some comment like, yeah, I'd love to get Obama into the, they asked who would you like to get into the cage next? And he said, I'd love to get Obama in here and go a couple rounds with him.
Oh, good Lord. Challenging a smoker to fight. That's tough.
And they had the Secret Service came. The fighter revealed that the Secret Service came and visited him that week.
Yeah, that's weak. It's like, now, look, they don't ever arrest anybody for any of this, but Secret Service always comes and has a finger wagging session with you.
I know, but dude,
you gotta start jailing some people.
I have not heard a finger wagging session for Calvin Brodus.
Yeah, I don't think that Secret Service takes it seriously enough. And frankly, after the this week we had a guy like loitering around, like strolling around the White House grounds for 15 minutes or something before he got arrested. So I'm starting to wonder, between this and the guy who, like, literally busted through the White House doors when Barry was in office a couple of years ago, and barreled over some, like, female, agent, and just totally treated her like his little biatch and then kept running around like a loose dog. I'm starting to wonder, like, what are the requirements of being a Secret Service agent? Because you guys don't do anything.
Well, it's funny because that's something that I've noticed that has been in the media. And it's one of those things that I do find concerning because I'm not one of these people that thinks like, oh, if you have a leader in the White House that you don't like, we'd be better off if they were killed. Not true. Bad news on either side of the aisle. But it was just like, it was, I want to say last Thursday, there was a former U.S. Secret Service agent. Dan Bongino, he had claimed that the White House isn't safe anymore. He went through a laundry list of reasons why Trump shouldn't stay there, that you can no longer protect a president in that location. And then like a week later, we get some guy wandering around the White House. And it just had me thinking to myself, like, is there a natural build towards some sort of development? I mean, it just seemed odd that a Secret Service agent, like a week after a Secret Service agent comes out and says the White House is no longer safe, here's some guy just wandering around the White House.
Right.
And as you said, you know, during Obama's administration, when someone just muscled past the door lady, like.
Oh, yeah. Just totally like I imagine he like mashed her with his hand in her face and just mashed her down to the ground like Biff does to what's her name? In Back to the Future, hand in the face, mashed her, and just kept on running. And this is like the second incident in like 2 weeks. The guy who just spent 15 minutes like walking around 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, like 2 weeks ago, there was a guy like with a backpack who got arrested there, just hopped a fence.
I don't understand how we don't have like. First of all, right by the doors, how do you not have guys that just look like J.J. Watt? Like, that should just be this. Is that sexist to say that all of the Secret Service agents that are, like, guarding the doors and windows of the White House, they should all look like some version of J.J. Watt, regardless of race? They should be the Asian, the black, the white, the Latino version of J.J. Watt.
Yes.
Do you not agree?
Yes. They eat broken glass and piss turpentine. Those are the people I want.
Yes. That's number one. And number two, when you go over to England, they have like at Buckingham Palace, they have all the armed guards everywhere.
The beef eaters.
But they have like a routine, like a changing of the guard. And it's been kind of woven into British culture that you go watch the changing of the guard. And it's like this friendly little military march. Why don't we have that? Where it's like the changing of the German shepherds or something. Where people aren't aware that something of some militarized nature is happening in front of them, but there's now fresh J.J. Watts and German shepherds that are now on duty.
Yeah.
But we do it in a way where everyone's like, ah.
Unfortunately, it sounds like we have the changing of the underwear when people are pooting themselves because someone just got over the fence and they don't know what to do about it. Like, this is, it's getting to be goddamn ridiculous. I don't care who's in the White House. I want them protected because I don't have faith that everything's not going to just bust at the seams if the POTUS gets whacked.
We've been through that before, but.
Well, and imagine, what was it like in 63? It had to have felt like, you know, the commies did it and that the place was about to go up for grabs. It had to have been a tense time.
Well, it's interesting because I remember when September 11th happened and I was talking to my mom.
Tell me about it.
I was talking to my mom at the time that it happened. And she was, I was curious if this is in her whole life, is this the scariest it's ever been? Mm. And she was still living in Ireland when Kennedy was shot. But she said, no, when Kennedy was shot, that was scarier because we didn't know. There was just a feeling that there was just going to be a world war. Mm-hmm. So that's how big it was when Kennedy was shot, that even my mom, who still hadn't immigrated to the country yet, still felt that that was a scarier time in her life than September 11th, 2001.
Hmm. Yeah, I know. I can believe it. I can absolutely believe it.
But for the people who are even like total anti-Trump, I can't imagine that you would want Mike Pence in there over Trump.
Jeez, yeah, that guy gives me the creeps.
But
Trump is a known commodity to me, but yes. Pence is like, he looks like a demon to me.
But at the same point, like, isn't that, of what people hate about Trump, doesn't Pence tend to embrace more of that? I don't know. I'm just surprised that people would be in a race to get to Mike Pence.
Yeah, no. The whole idea of calling for or tacitly approving of the whacking of the POTUS, like it's like a new pastime. The whacking of the POTUS. Oh, it's almost time for the whacking of the POTUS over in America. Would you like to visit?
Well, that was back during the Clinton years.
But. That's...
It is time for the whacking of the POTUS.
Oh, I walked right. I teed that up for you, Jones.
You did.
Yeah, the whacking of the POTUS is something that I liked better in the 90s than I do like now, man.
All
like,
right, it's time for the whacking of the POTUS.
All right. Oh, no, Hillary, you can't play. You can't play. I don't like how you do it.
Yeah, you still haven't registered.
Yeah, I don't approve of it. But here's the thing, man, and this is going to be my own theory on the whole matter. My theory is that the POTUS with the mostus does not reside in the White House. That there's a tunnel system. And I don't have any evidence of this. I'm just totally guessing and imagining it, that there's a tunnel system under Washington, D.C. And it's theorized in tinfoil hat land where I dabble, Jones. It's theorized that there is an elaborate tunnel system under the United States that's like hundreds of miles long and like goes there are trucking vendors who are supplying this underground like bunker system through like these through like highways underground.
Well, there is.
And so my theory is that the POTUS doesn't live in the White House and just like kind of pops up through the tunnel and like appears there daily, but is never actually, you know, there all that long.
Well, you know, wasn't there revealed? I want to say there was even a History Channel special where they built something in the 30s that was under the White House. And I think now it was a tunnel system that would lead out to other buildings. I remember seeing a special on this.
Really? Maybe I saw it and I forgot that I saw it. Maybe I was high.
But it had been published in the papers. So then they had stopped what they were doing with that tunnel system. But I wouldn't doubt that they would have built another one, come up with another system. That would make total sense. I mean,
yeah, you're telling me that like let's just go along with it that the POTUS is the free world's most powerful person. You stick this person in a giant white house, a building, a giant white building, like a big Target, and you tell the whole world he's here, he's in this thing. And you tell the world, we don't know how to defend it. You can actually, people are leaping the fences. We have no idea. Why wouldn't that just get missiled with a plane even, if it was real, if it was legit?
Right, right.
So I don't buy that for a second. He is in some underground, or she, you know, whoever's really running the country is really in an underground bunker. Maybe Trumpy and Barry, they're actually never really there unless it's for a photo op. And how often is that?
I could buy that. I could buy that.
Like hell, man. Like the only time you see them, they're in the Oval Office. And who knows? That could be like underground. That could be all fake natural light. Maybe they're never in there. But I have to say that it has gone, whether or not the dude's really there, like it's out of hand. People calling for him. Even a few weeks ago, CNN, like, and I've never seen this before, they had like footage of Bannon having like an argument in like the Oval Office with people, supposedly with Trump, and like Jared Kushner goes walking by, and then like Don Jr. is in the background, and like they even, you know, tinfoil hat land theorized that the way the lattice or whatever on the windows looked, it looked like it was like a crosshairs, like that's how it would look through an assassin's scope, and this is how it would look whacking the president. And it's like, what is going on? Meanwhile, like I've never actually seen any footage like that before. Like all of a sudden we have like telescopic lenses, you know, focused on the White House. Now they tell us that it's bulletproof glass or whatever, but like, what is this? What is all this dog and pony show? I don't buy it. Something smells, Jones.
Do you think we're being groomed or prepared for something?
I don't know. I think that all of it is one big giant misdirection, and the media is in on it, and the Sean Spicer and Trumpy, they're all in on some sort of BS campaign, because all of it every day just gets more and more fantastic. I feel like we're being lied to, Jones.
I feel like we're being lied to as well, and I think we are building towards something, but I don't think it's towards some cataclysmic state event that will have to do with the passing of an untimely passing of Donald Trump.
You do not believe he'll be whacked. But you're going to go on record.
No, I don't believe he'll be whacked, but I do believe, and he may need 8 years to do this, but I do believe we are going to hear about a mission to Mars. A mission I don't believe in, but I think that's the next trick.
Wait, you don't believe in? You don't believe that we should go to Mars?
No. I think we're going to be shown to have made it to Mars within the next 10 years, but we will not have made it to Mars. And I think Trump is going to play a part in this. The Mars deception, it's here.
More on that, Jones and Mike.
Hey, it's Mike. Please go to jonesandmike.com/survey and take the 2-minute survey we've put together for you. Trust me, it'll be the most satisfying 2 minutes you have all week. We are remaking Jones and Mike in your image. But to do that, we need your input on what you like, what you don't, and what we could do differently, more often, and better. It only takes 2 minutes, and the survey you take today could change your life tomorrow. Go to www.jonesandmike.com/survey. Thanks.
Jones and Mike, an explosive edition of Jones and Mike. It has been postulated by moi that the White House is one big sham. It's one big photo opportunity. In fact, you only see the outside of it, and very rarely do you see the actual POTUS there outside of the actual White House. Most of the time, it's just shots of the Oval Office. The other week, Trumpy jumped out from behind a partition when some kids were there. Did you see that?
No.
And, they were doing, a tour. I guess a lot was being made because Melania wasn't doing she was shirking her responsibilities, we were told, by the breathless media. She wasn't doing what you're supposed to do when you're first lady, which I guess has to do with, the White House tours. So for a time there after the inauguration, there were no White House tours. Then they wanted to make a big deal out of the fact that, well, no, she's back. She's on the job. She's doing the first lady stuff. We're doing tours.
Why does she have to do a tour?
Well, I guess that's part of the under the purview of the first lady or the spouse, I guess would be a better way of saying it. The spouse of the POTUS, the FLOTUS in this case, is supposed to organize the White House, domicile.
I guess, but
duties.
I don't understand why the tours would have to stop if she's not doing them. Isn't there someone
in
Washington that knows the history of the White House and can just do them? But plus, what if you suck at interacting with people and then you kind of just don't want to do it?
No,
so
I know.
Force this person? I mean, that's...
Well, I know. I never heard anything about Michelle. In fact, it would seem like she was, if you're to believe, the conservative rags, she was the one, just messing around with, school lunches for, 8 years. And then the conservative rags would show this is a school lunch under Michelle. And it was one piece of broccoli and a rotten apple and a go-gurt.
Meanwhile, you tell me this. Now, I don't want kids going hungry at school, but how much does it cost to send a kid off to school with a lunch? I mean, is it if you went to break down a sandwich, a small bag of chips and one of those apple juice drinks? How much is that?
Yeah, this is now that this is difficult. It's not cheap having children, but you would think that food stamps cover that. They cover bread and PB&J.
But people always make such a big deal about the school lunch, and it's funny. It's if you broke it down, if you were buying in bulk, as a lot of families do, and just making sandwiches every day, I couldn't imagine that your standard deli sandwich. That you make at home.
It's not going to be a Bill Cosby hoagie, but it's going to be like a PB&J.
Is it more than $2.50?
Yeah, I mean, you would think that if you really, really worked at it, 20 bones would set up some kids with lunch every day a week. Again, just bare bones, bread. Dude, I went to school with a PB&J and a ding dong every day when I was a kid.
Yeah, so I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to get off school lunches.
But but that's all that Michelle Obama supposedly did for 8 years. And then, Melania is supposed to be heading up the tours, right? And so a couple of weeks ago, Trumpy did a photo op where the kids went ape when he jumped out. When that felt like a setup, So the whole thing surround, and it was like in like a catacombs. It was like in an underground hallway. Like you had no way of knowing if it was actually the White House. Oh, and then on top of it, there was a portrait of Hillary Clinton right over his shoulder. It was so bizarre, this whole photo op. You didn't see that?
No.
Dude, okay, all right, so check it out online or whatever, and then it's so weird seeing Hillary over his shoulder, like there's a portrait of her in this weird underground hallway, there's no natural light, it's a very strange scene, and I want you to check it out only because then the kid like does like a hand signal, he does the okay sign to his friends, which was weird because like in Tinfoil Hat Land, the okay symbol is 666.
I know, yeah. I know.
Well, but it is weird. It's like you're just meeting the president. Why are you throwing up like signs and stuff? He's like 10, this kid. So the whole thing was bizarre front to back. And I don't buy it. Obviously, you don't buy like, oh, these kids are all excited to see Trump. Like, who's excited? It seems like my kids, like they've been conditioned to hate him.
I know, but when you're in that environment, then all of a sudden the president steps out. It's almost like, remember there was, I think a year ago, Jimmy Kimmel did a thing about Robinson Cano, the former New York Yankee, mm-hmm. coming back to New York after he signed a big contract with Seattle. And they went around and they interviewed people about what they thought of Robinson Cano. And of course, they ripped him the riot act and he's this terrible guy. And then all of a sudden, Robinson Cano would walk out from behind the corner. And whoever was talking trash about him was like, Robinson, I didn't mean it, man. And that was over a baseball player. So I think most people, even though you think you've been conditioned to hate this guy, all of a sudden, if he was there, you'd be like, oh, hey.
I guess, but I think I'd be more like my mouth would be open and I'd be like, oh, there's the president. No matter who the president was.
Yeah, I didn't
at any
see
age.
The kid's reaction, so I'll take you.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah, I'm going to play it for you because they go bananas. Like, as if Bieber walked out. And it's like, what? This doesn't make any sense to me.
He's a good-looking guy.
So, of course, there's like tons of ads when you try to play something online, and I'm trying to skip it. It's like, it's a full, like, 60-second Showtime ad.
Right. Turn the computer sound.
Listen to this. There he is. He's like saying something to them. Like, I'm going to.
President Trump. He surprises.
Okay, I'm going to pause it. Look at Hillary, the giant picture of Hillary white right behind him.
And I know it's her daughter, but it looks more like Chelsea. But it is Hillary.
No, that's Hillary.
No, it's Hillary. No question. But whoever painted it, painted more of a Chelsea face.
And she looks fabulous. But it's like that was carefully orchestrated by someone on the team. Like, okay, we're going to do it right here in this spot in the catacombs where the Hillary portrait is. It's just something that doesn't ring true at all. And then he beckons one kid to come out of the crowd. He moves over away from the picture, by the way. Over in front of like these, like the trifold, like stand up partition that he popped out from behind. And he's got the one kid there.
Children, and chaperones and parents.
And the kid's all
Alabama.
Happy, looking back at his. He's like, yeah, I'm right next to the POTUS. I'm the man.
This. First off, what I see is.
And there now, Trumpy grabs him like a father grabs a kid, and he's like, oh, who's your teacher? Oh, that girl? Yeah, cool. Oh, and then they cut it. Damn you, CNN. You suck. The kid's about to do the okay symbol.
That's the thing.
He throws it up.
The party piece.
I know. Well, they cut it because they don't want you to see the Illuminati sign, Jones. I don't know what it is. It just was weird. If I were the kid, I would have been like, wow, I just won this lottery to be with the POTUS. I wouldn't have been throwing up hand signals, but that's just me. So the whole thing about the White House and all of it, it all seems like a giant dog and pony show to misdirect us from something. And I don't know what it is, but you know.
Well, no, I'm not going to say what you're presenting right now. I don't know that it relates to what I'm about to present. And what I'm about to present is this idea that I believe in the next 10 years in this grand country of ours, is we are going to see NASA astronauts landing on Mars. Or so we will be led to believe. And I believe that before Trump leaves office, if he gets 8 years, this is for sure a given. But I believe you are going to see him be put in front of the country and to, like JFK before him, claim that we are sending a mission to Mars and then huzzah. the Hollywood people will roll out, and at an appropriate time, we will have some people walking around on Mars.
Read in Politico, and a bunch of other places, but Politico specifically, an article like a month ago where his administration is considering a bold plan for rapid, what they called rapid and affordable return to the moon by 2020, but not just to go to the moon, to practice for when they go to Mars. So he's already kind of floating out there that I'm going to be the president that announces we're going to Mars.
And that was something that kind of kicked around in my brain when I read it, like about a week ago. There was the latest issue of Men's Journal. It's got Arnold Schwarzenegger on the cover. It's the April issue.
God, is he annoying.
They have an article that's titled The NASA Hollywood Bromance. So as you know, I've never believed that we went to Mars. I think it was a Hollywood.
Well, moon.
A moon. I'm sorry. Right. You know that I've never believed that we went to
Hell
moon.
No.
I believe that it was a government Hollywood joint venture. And as I was reading this article and starting to see in just everyday life, the groundwork being laid in terms of rhetoric around, well, Mars is out there. We are getting better. We have landed robots that have rolled around on Mars.
And yeah, these are the things.
As I was reading this article, it all came rushing back to me. This article heavily quoted a gentleman named Bert Ulrich, and Bert Ulrich is NASA's multimedia liaison for film. That's his title. That's his job. And
NASA has a multimedia liaison for film.
And when he first started working at NASA in 1990, they didn't have this role. But in the mid and late 90s, they started creating this role. And in the last few years, you've now started to see more discussion. More films that were depicting Mars landings, like The Martian.
Sure.
Now that was based on a book that was written previously, but we're now starting to see these stories being greenlit of us going to Mars, landing on Mars.
I think it's greenlighted.
What did I say?
You see greenlit.
It was done. They were greenlighted. So fine.
Yeah, man.
You started to see these projects that were greenlighted that detailed us and NASA going to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And NASA would work hand in hand with these films to make sure that it was an accurate representation of how they know Mars to be. And it was funny, of the films that would not feature NASA astronauts involved in these missions, NASA would not participate. So I just found it funny that NASA now has this project, or now has the, I'm sorry, now has this person, this liaison for Hollywood within their own organization to make sure that their representation of Mars looks just like the Mars that they know exists.
Very skeptical of you. You should be ashamed of yourself, Jones. I mean, it just kind of, it does make sense that you would want your branding to be front and center if you're going to be giving up your experts and stuff. You want your logo to be used? I think that makes perfect sense.
But why would you have someone within your organization,
right,
that has the title NASA's Multimedia Liaison for Film? I mean, isn't that just strange that you would have someone that would be working specifically on this? And let's double back. We have not in 40 years landed on any other planet. Now, you think of progress that we have made.
Preach, brother, preach.
When you think of the progress that we've made in any other field in 40 years, imagine what we were in the late 70s, mid to late 70s, kids were excited to play Pong. When I came to your house last week to play video games, I brought my NES Classic, which had our video games that we knew and loved from 30 years ago.
Yeah, awesome.
Your son looked at it and went, oh my God, that's what you guys used to play? Our video games look so lifelike now.
Yeah, yeah.
We now live in a world of virtual reality where you once had your daughter say to you, it's great now because you can choose your own reality. And you had to correct her and say, no, you don't choose. This is reality. What you're looking at is a virtual reality.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how far we've come in terms of video game technology.
That's the same kid who
video
this week.
Experience
that's
technology.
The same kid who this week told me, I'm so triggered right now. And I went, what did you just say to me? Did you just use the word triggered? Like, that's something to be... I thought that was a pejorative. Right. So, you can't trust anything that that kid
but
says.
But still, you're seeing, though, how far we've come along in terms of video technology, video game technology. When you look at where... Remember what it was like years ago when we first started going onto the internet and you had to dial up.
Oh,
now,
my God.
The capabilities of the internet, they blow our mind. And the reach is mind-boggling.
I know,
when you look at anything that has been developed over time, in terms of even the processing of food, transportation, how much stronger the engines are now, but how much more efficient they are. You look at over 40 years, the acceleration that we make in any of these fields, but then we get to the moon, the greatest accomplishment in human history.
Yeah, yeah.
And then 40 years later, we're like, we're done with it.
40 years, 5 years later, we were done with it, right?
Yes, but what I'm saying is in the last 40 years, like, we didn't need to do any more of that. And then all of a sudden, we're going to kick it up now, almost 50 years later, and then just go to Mars. Wouldn't you have thought that at least by the 80s or 90s, when we had so much money kicking around and things were so good, we would have gone to Mars? That NASA basically just became like a program of like planes that flew really high. Like, that's all we started to do. Why did we stop the deception of... interplanetary travel.
Yeah, dude, it says right here, and it's from Wikipedia, it could be totally false and made up, but it says that, like, obviously, July 20th, 1969, landed on the moon. There were 6 manned U.S. landings between 69 and 72, and then that's it.
Yeah. So 12.
And scene.
Yeah. About 12 white guys named Tommy, Owen, and Chip walked around the moon. And then we just decided to stop for almost 50 years.
Oh, we're bored with this.
And now we're going to go to Mars. But we're supposed to believe that we're going to go to Mars.
That's right.
When we have people that are working hand in hand from NASA to Hollywood. And that you think that this is not going to be another grand deception.
Yeah. So we have not bothered for the last 40 years to go to the thing that's 250,000 miles away or something. The moon and Earth are only like 250,000 miles apart. But Mars is 250 million miles away.
Like, wouldn't you have...
Well, that's when they're at the opposite end of their aphelion, if you must know, Jones.
I must know.
Yeah. So, of course, orbits aren't exactly circular, so, but it's considerably further away than the moon.
And wouldn't you...
It takes 6 months just to get there.
Wouldn't you think that for this whole time, we would have been going to the moon anyway, just to refine our interplanetary traveling skills? So now, like, that's honestly, it's like we earned our license.
Yeah, the thing that tells me it's BS, dude, is like, I love how the Russians just went, oh, the Americans got there. Well, no bother going there now.
Right. and when you think, it's like you got your license in 1969.
Yeah.
And then you didn't, and then you drove for 2 or 3 years. And then when you, on your 19th birthday, you decided to put the car keys away. And then 48 years later, 50 years later, whenever it is we're going to go to Mars, you decide you're going to go race Formula One.
Yeah, no, it makes zero sense, dude. The Indians and the Chinese are supposedly prepping lunar landings. I hope and pray that they do it and that we get to see that stuff, because I'm with you, man. I don't believe it for a second. I don't believe it for a second. And we've gone over it ad nauseum, and I'm sure we will again. Let's not do it now. But because the ultimate premise that you're throwing out is something I dig. That back then was Kennedy and Johnson's ruse to win the Cold War. And it was a good one. It did puff out our chests. It probably did help us win the Cold War. So I don't understand why the Russians wouldn't have thrown the bullshit flag on that. Why wouldn't the Russians have thrown the BS flag on that, Jones? Why didn't they go, it is impossible, it could not happen? I can't do a Russian accent, but why didn't they ever say that that was faked?
You know what, though? I don't think that they believed it was fake. Like, back in the early 80s when Ronald Reagan was claiming that he was going to develop the Star Wars plan. Remember that program where you would just shoot down missiles?
That's right.
We would have this perfect system that would keep our country safe. Gorbachev later revealed that that was part of the reason that led to the collapse of the Soviet Union. They heard Ronald Reagan talking about this. He was so confident about it. They thought, well, we can't compete with this. We can't compete with them. And Reagan was just kind of talking off the top of his head. This was just a concept.
The ultimate Trump.
Yes. He was talking off the top of his head. This was a concept of, wouldn't it be great if we had these things that were in the sky and they could shoot down missiles? But the Russians, they bought it. So I think 15 years previous, back when you're talking the late 60s, early 70s, they were in the same boat. It looked real to them.
Oh my God, the Russians are so dumb.
Well,
I can't believe we're afraid of Putin.
They're not smart.
So now the idea is that we're going to go to the moon for the first time in 40 years. But I love this. It's like not even like we're going back to the moon. It's like we're going back to the moon only so because it's a little bit cooler to practice there than in Arizona for the real mission, which is going to Mars. We got to practice our landings and stuff for Mars. So you believe that the Martian thing is a dog and pony show. And so here's my question to you. Since everybody hates Trump, supposedly the right hates him, the left hates him, Hollywood hates him, who would work with him on this? Who would go along with this whole deceptive thing? Or do you think that like everyone only hates him because that's part of a dog and pony show too? Like all of it's fake.
No, I think, yeah, that absolutely. That could just be part of a larger dog and pony show that steps outside of what we understand Democrats and Republicans to
mm-hmm.
be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's not even like he and his, him and Jared and Don Jr., who just strikes me as such a dope. And let's be honest, get all those guys out of there. You only need Ivanka. She's really the only one with any brains in the whole room. She's fabulous.
She is fabulous.
Her, Chelsea, and Sasha, three-way political race, Jones. Get your head out of the gutter. When those three go head to head to head for an election in like 10 years, look out. Actually, Sasha will be too young.
Yeah.
They need to lower that age. We need to see this happen while Ivanka's still a young woman. I don't want to see an old doddering Ivanka going up against Sasha.
I bet you she doesn't let herself get old and doddering.
Oh, yeah. She is fabulous. But, you know, when those guys are all in the room and they're chatting, you don't think that they're like, okay, we're going to put this out there and we're going to get a whole lot of credit. They have to be thinking that's a big deceptive ruse, too. Like, the media is going to skewer him when they're giving him a hard time about, you know, cutting funding for Meals on Wheels when it turns out that Meals on Wheels isn't actually funded by the federal government anyway. Like, nobody's going to buy him making some grandiose speech about going to Mars. I got to imagine they're going to skewer him. Like, where's the money for? We don't have money to feed seniors, but we have money to go to Mars?
Yeah, but he's the exact type of person who'd be perfect to make that boastful statement, not worry about the public reaction. And whether he's in office when they decide to pull off this ruse or not, they at least had the perfect guy who went out there and made that declaration. If you would have, say, a McCain in office or someone like that, if they went to make that proclamation, they would maybe feel publicly responsible. Like, everyone's going to think that I'm choosing this over Meals on Wheels.
Right.
Where Trump's like, let's go to Mars. Like, he doesn't care about Meals on Wheels, whether it was subsidized by the government or not. He wants to go to Mars, and he would love, even if he didn't get to see it happen, know that he was the guy who started it all.
That's right. Okay, yeah. All right. I'm starting to buy what you're selling here, man. I dig it. All right. Well, we'll look out for this, man, because in the months ahead, I got to imagine he's going to have to make this announcement fairly soon. You don't want to do this like in year 3.5 of your reign.
I don't know.
I think you do it soon so you can start to ride all that political, you know, wave.
And I don't want to get into Illuminati talk because I'm not really into that. And I don't understand, you know, I don't really have a theory of the hierarchy of how that would even work. Mm-hmm. But I have a feeling like it won't be up to him when he says it. Like when they say, hey, we're ready. Let's go forward with the Mars announcement. I think he will be told, here's the time to make the Mars announcement. I don't think he's in control of it. In the same way, I don't think Kennedy was in control of it.
What? Wait a second. You can't say you don't believe in the Illuminati and all that stuff and then say that. Who's pulling
Trump's
strings?
Because I don't know. Because you're going to say, well, who's doing that? Now, my answer is I don't know. I don't know. But in the same way, like, you know that people within the CIA and the NSA, they operate on their own accord, and then the president gets told things. I mean, you don't really believe that the president's running everything.
No, I don't even believe he's really living in that house. You're right.
Right. So what I'm saying is, and that's why I want to steer clear of, like, an Illuminati thing. I'm not talking about, like, one, and then a Rothschild will walk into a room, and he will be pulled out of a glass jar, and he will tell Donald, we're going to Mars, right. Say it tomorrow. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying when the timing is right of these people who work on these timetables and these projects over the course of presidential administrations, they'll come to him and say, hey, you know, here's where we're thinking. We're ready for this Mars thing and we're ready to make this announcement. Let's go make this announcement.
Okay. All right. Well, I just want to see.
It still is a tinge of Illuminati-ness to it. I understand that.
Yeah.
But I think the presidency is an oligarchy of sorts, an unknown oligarchy.
Sure. No, and we're like-minded in that approach as well. There's no question. You think it'll be kind of like what Tinfoil Hatland thinks of the Osama bin Laden death, that actually he had died many years earlier. And they just pulled it out for a politically expedient reason at a certain time of their choosing. And that they faked the raid photo, which did seem kind of staged and stuff, with Hillary covering her mouth and Barry leaning forward in his chair. And everyone's studying some, like, what you perceive to be some computer screen showing the double tap of Osama.
Yes.
Like, the whole thing seems so weird. Meanwhile, like, people believe that he had died, like, in 2003 in Tora Bora or whatever. So you believe it's something along those lines, that they'll pull it out when they need it?
Hey, listen, you know, I could absolutely see that being the case. I mean, look at, you know, Hitler supposedly shot himself in a ditch. And yet, when you go over to Argentina, there were how many numerous people that looked just like Adolf Hitler?
Right.
That was just a clean-shaven version of him. And then how many of his associates over the year were discovered in Argentina?
Oh, my God. You know, now we're off the rails.
No. But years later, there's CIA evidence that they – or not evidence, but there's CIA paperwork that they were following up leads in 1946 about – Adolf Hitler possibly being in Argentina.
That's right. All of them going to Patagonia. That's right, Jones.
So these things do exist. And why would, you know, why would a mission to Mars be any different?
No. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm all for it. I mean, I thought I was going out on a limb by saying the president doesn't sleep in the White House. Now we're on to Hitler escaped Germany and retired to Patagonia in Argentina. We're on to the lunar landing and the eventual Martian landing are all fake ruses. This is all mind boggling, Jones.
And I believe this will finally be the year that the Cubs win the World Series.
Oh, my God.
The greatest controversy of all.
Heresy, Jones.
Is it nice to have that off our shoulders?
It's unbelievable.
Relates to nothing of what we've discussed, but it still gets me giddy.
Well, no, fantastic, you know, inexplicable things like, why is Target using actual women in its ads for swimsuits?
Ew.
That next, Jones and Mike. Hey, it's Mike. Please go to jonesandmike.com/survey and take the 2-minute survey we've put together for you. Trust me, it'll be the most satisfying 2 minutes you have all week. We are remaking Jones and Mike in your image. But to do that, we need your input on what you like, what you don't, and what we could do differently, more often, and better. It only takes 2 minutes, and the survey you take today could change your life tomorrow. Go to www.jonesandmike.com/survey. Thanks. Jones, thanks for sending me this article about Target trying to make more money by showing real women in its swimsuits.
Pretty hot, huh?
Oh, I'm loving it, but I'm assuming that you're you're disgusted.
No, not at all. Not at all. I always dig when they go with the real woman over the models. Like, even in Sports Illustrated, when they do their swimsuit issue,
yeah.
I don't care about the swimsuit models at all. I like when they either do the players' like wives or girlfriends, or they do the real athletes. Those are the ones I always did. Now, those are still touched-up shots, but like the models never interest me. So now when I saw that Target is doing these untouched photos, and yeah, they're going to show some cellulite, which is not what you're typically used to. But as I was going through, like, this article featured four of the models. And I have to say, like, if you didn't tell me these shots were untouched, I wouldn't have really noticed except for the first girl's first shot. And actually, I didn't notice the cellulite that she has on the belly until I looked for it.
Well, it's like stretch marks.
Stretch marks.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, stretch marks.
Like, honestly, from her waistband up, it's pretty fabulous. And then waistband down, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
but here's the thing.
She's
it's still like an attractive girl. She's fabulous. I would love to get to know her in a platonic way. They're going overboard, man, because it's like, I love real women, but like, this, she's big. She's like unhealthily big. She's probably like 220.
No.
215.
Way.
Yes.
No way.
Yes. She's no. large and in charge, bro.
Not a chance.
That's more than just having bat wings, man. Like, she is rotund.
No, she's not.
Again, kind of slim in the midsection ish, yeah. But like giant,
She's just not toned.
To call her an apple bottom, she is an orchard.
Oh, that was, you'd written.
I was sitting on that one?
Yeah, you were sitting on
that one. She's sitting on a lot. That's all I know. And then when they stick her out there on a sand beach, like in Ventura or something, and she's next to like a bunch of poles, right? And the contrast between the rope she's grabbing and the poles, and then her, it's jarring.
No,
she's jarring. She is fat. And it's fine to show someone who's real, but like she's fat.
I would say she's
fat. Wait a second. On the BMI chart, I'm overweight. So if I'm overweight for a dude, she's fat for a woman.
Her body is better than your body.
No. Again, I love him Rubenesque. She's very Rubenesque.
Okay, well, let's move on though.
If you gave Michelangelo a hammer, a chisel, a block of rock, and a picture of her, he could have made another masterpiece. An masterpiece in her case.
Well, look, she does still need to trim down, but no, I wouldn't say. I'd say she's just thick. Now, if you continue down the track, what do you think of Lizzie Arminato?
Lizzie Arminato from Encinitas, California.
I mean, that's an untouched shot. You wouldn't say she's a hottie.
Yeah, I don't know. They would do some weird like Polaroid layout here, and I can't really tell. I don't really see. She's cute. She's slim, actually.
Right.
But again, I'm not after slim. All I'm saying is you can show a real woman without showing just a fat one who probably is unhealthy.
Okay, well, what about the real Cammy?
Okay, so then I go down to real Cammy. And so this is an African-American woman, I'm guessing.
Yep.
And maybe has had children. Like that belly button shows me that something's up. Maybe had children.
Okay.
And she
looks
voluptuous.
Good. Yes.
Yeah, lovely.
All right.
Lovely. And there's a little bit of cellulite, but like, again, not unhealthy looking.
But I'm liking that.
You get to Megan Batoon and Boom. Megan Batoon. Oh,
well, Megan seems to be. She's probably the youngest of the bunch.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Just untouched. That's not real in the sense of like cellulite and, you know,
yeah,
muffin
but they don't
tops
have. They
stuff.
Still don't have like the suit. Like the suit's puckered in weird spots. So if I'm a chick, I do think I like looking at these photos and going, okay, if I'm one of these four body types, this is kind of what I would look like.
Yeah, no, I think that women should actually demand that this is how all models look.
But I have to say, I find these chicks foxier than the average swimsuit model.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, bro. And in fact, it's making me wonder, like, what happened to the swimsuit issue this year? I didn't hear anything about Sports Illustrated.
I got it.
And
you saw those. I did send you the pictures that they had of Ellie Reisman.
Yeah, my fave.
Yeah, so she was in it, and then the rest
just
of them
just because I'm patriotic?
Yeah, and then the rest of them were just...
You send me the ones of her, though, when she's, like, all the way naked, though. Were those
they
in Sports Illustrated?
Yeah. But they don't. They always have, like, the tricep is, like, artfully pulled back as she's on her forearms. Like, you don't really see anything.
But I know, but it's a swimsuit issue. So how do you have naked chicks in a swimsuit issue? That's weird.
Because then they do the body paint thing. Ronda Rousey was one year and just body paint.
Weird. That's
so
weird.
They always work their way around it. But
okay, so I'm with you, though. I dig it when it's the wives of the golfers. I like it when it's the normal people. I like, even though they're not swimsuit models, I love when they have the actual athletes like Ellie Reisman or who was the other gold medal winner that you would send me photos
Simone
of?
Simone Biles.
So, Simone! How did I forget about Simone? Yeah. And like their bodies are just like chiseled from rock, so they're definitely the polar opposite of these women, these real women. But I'm with you, man. Real is best, bro.
Now, here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of personal taste, now remember just like the day or two after the women won the gold medal in the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
And they had that picture of them on the beach, and I sent it to you. I'm like, dude, look at these girls' abs. It's disconcerting. And these girls had like these... I can't even describe to you how like rock hard these abs were.
Yeah. They like just 19 like, packs.
Yes,
yeah.
They just look like cut from granite. Now, compare those abs or that body to, would you find that the femininity of their bodies right then and there to our girl... Denise Bedeau.
Yeah,
the Rubenesque one. Who would you prefer? And those not. And I'm not talking Ellie Reisman when she put on a little bit of weight and she's looking great. Look at Denise, and then look at those crazy cut from granite abs that those U.S. Olympians had, like a day after the. They finished competing.
Yeah, I gotta say, in the spirit of adventurism, like in conquering new lands, I'd have to go. And I say this, hoping my wife never hears this, but I'd have to go with the muscle bound
really
women because I've already seen.
I've already seen
the other side. And I've already been to that mountaintop.
But doesn't it look... Go back to those... okay.
I have been to the muffin tops.
And you've been to the muffin top and you can tell the tale. You've survived.
Yeah, I've survived the muffin tops, dude.
Can you... Okay, clip back to the Olympians and look at those abs, though. Don't they look like... they look like the abs of men.
I think I would, you know, not dwell on it.
I'm just saying, let's do a torso comparison.
I would just want to touch those and be like, what is going on with this? I think I'd be more fascinated by it than anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think.
Look, this is all just fantasy land. You're the one who's still on the Pecker World Tour, theoretically. So, you know. You're the one who lives in the Viagra Triangle.
It's about you.
This is just a little fantasy for me. I'm just telling you that I, in this spirit of trying new things,
okay,
I have already eaten the other dish, and I'd like to try this one and see if it matches, hits my sweet spot.
Fair enough.
But this idea that that Target. Or any retail chain, it's got to just be a publicity stunt. Like, they're not going to actually show real women henceforth and from here on out.
You would think, if I ran a retail store, I think I would commit to it for a year and just see what would happen to sales. It'd be interesting. And I could see a scenario where the sales would drop. Because I think of some female friends that I have, young, beautiful girls. And we've talked about this, where when you look at models and how touched up they are, and I've said to them directly, but if you saw the model that was untouched and you saw the photo of the model where it was all touched up, you would you not still compare yourself and compete against that touched up photo? And they say that, yes, they would do that.
What?
It's crazy. So I could see a scenario where if they went with the real woman and untouched photos for a year, you could see sales plummet. But I would still be curious to see if one retailer wouldn't take the chance and then if women would go, okay, well, that's actually what I would really look like. Great. Let's do that.
That's bizarre that they know that they're being played, that the system is rigged, that they know that women don't really look like that. Even these models don't really look like that. And they still like beat themselves up to try to match that unattainable goal.
Yes, and it could just be the mindset of, because if I got to that level, then I also know that in real life I would have that model beat. I'm guessing, could that be it?
Okay. Oh, okay. So it's not like they're like bulimic over it. Like, I have to get to that. That's just like they judge them.
They judge themselves against that. They would look at that photo and go, oh, I'm not that.
Now I want to know what they think of, you know, of these real women who even I think are kind of tubby. Like, I got to think that, like...
Yeah, but that's just... You can't... Okay, now...
The one.
Yeah.
That they have to be outraged by that. They have to think, like, that's, like, gross, right? Like the younger ones.
I don't know, though. I mean, I think, because wouldn't you think... Well, swimsuits for women are such a big deal. And then they all go together to try them on, and everyone tells them what they think. Well, that does look cute, and then that one looked cuter. So I think they would see this Denise Bedeau and go, okay, well, we have some Denise Bedeaus in our life. And if they would look at themselves and go, okay, my realistic look is a Denise Bedeau. She looks great in that. Would I look great in that? I think they would think of their friends that are in that Denise Bedeau position and see her purpose and go, okay, well, yeah, that, you know, that makes sense. So I don't think they would be disgusted by her. But I bet if I pulled out the photo of those four girls and I said, well, yeah, you know, if you compared yourself to Denise Bedeau and they saw those other three, I guarantee you they'd be like, why are you comparing me to her? Why don't you compare me to Lizzie Armanato?
You better not do that then, huh?
No, I'm not going to do that.
Dude, this picture of Denise Bedeau, the large one, the large and in charge one from Target, in this picture, she's telling you everything you need to know, Jones. She's holding out two fingers because that stands for 200 pounds. That's how much she weighs.
She's not 200 pounds.
That's how many lunches she had that day. Two lunches.
Look, I'll even concede she might have had two lunches, but she's not 200 pounds. I bet
she has an early lunch and a late lunch.
I would say 5'3", 160, 165.
No chance.
Get her on the show. We'll ask her how old she is, what's her height and weight. Women love those questions.
No, and she's very, in the face, she's very cute,
she's
in the
pretty
face.
Girl.
Yeah, I just want her to be healthy, man. That's all I want. I just want her to live to be an old Bedeau.
I bet you, though, I don't know. I don't know that she's that unhealthy. I mean, I've seen people that size just crank out triathlons.
Well, again, because running is dopey.
Well, then you have the swimming and the biking.
Well, you're right. And swimming, you know, on a good day, you can just let the current take you. And then the biking, let's be honest, that's in the middle for a reason. It's the least tough of all of them.
Yeah, that is kind of where you save yourself.
Yeah, so I'm just not buying that at all. She may be an endurance freak, but I just want her to be healthy. I'm just going to start treating myself a little bit better, because compared to her, for a dude, I'm not that bad. Right, Jones? I'm not that fat.
This is Rep the Show.
I don't look... No, she looks fat for a woman. I don't look that fat for a man, do I?
You don't look fat for a man, no.
Thanks, Jones.
I do think she has a better body than you.
Well, that's a relief.